Welcome to Calming Harp, the sounds of David's Psalms. I'm glad you've joined us for this brief moment we share together. I will be playing some of the music that has been brought out of the Psalms. My name is Steve Reese. I play the harp. And over the last several years, I've been bringing the sounds of David's Psalms into recordings. You can find a lot of my music on my website, www.calmingharp.com. I have CDs available and MP3s. And you can go to YouTube. If you go to YouTube and then type in Peregrinati, Peregrinnatti, you will find hours of beautiful harp music that you can just play in the background and be calmed with the music that David may have played for his sheep at one time or another. So as we share this half hour, join me and enjoy the sounds of David's harp.
Well, good morning. It's the 28th of October, and once again we're still here in the UK, and we've had some wonderful experiences in touring around. Our friends Chris and Katrina have been very kind to be our tour guides and hosts, and have treated us so wonderfully, and we just so appreciate it. So I just want to put a thank you out there, just so everybody knows. Anyway, so in working, walking around and driving around the United Kingdom, one of the things that has just stood out to me so much is the incredible architecture and the amazing ages of houses and buildings and things that that are all around. I've probably taken several thousand pictures of all these beautiful homes, and some of them still are doing the thatch, which I think is just very charming. And we went to the Anne Hathaway house in where Shakespeare would have courted her in her family home. And the home was, if I may get this wrong, but I think the original house was first built in around 1100, and then it was added to, and hit 13 generations of the Hathaways lived in that house before it was finally sold. And it's now being preserved as a museum. But it was amazing just to see oak beams that were 600, 700, 800 years old. Oak wood, still intact, still strong, that had been sitting up there all those centuries. We were just in a home yesterday, Alan and Di. I call her Lady Di. She's, anyway, beautiful people. And they bought an old historic building that was built in 1530. And once again, it had been added as well. But the original central part of it's called a manor because it actually was a full farm and everything. So it had, could be 20, 30 people living on the property in various buildings that were all part of the cooking and the farming and the and the animal husbandry and all of the different, the gardening, all of the different aspects of what it took to keep a manor operational. And they have bought it and they're now restoring it. And 1530, and there's these huge oak beams across the ceiling that are still holding the weight up. It was interesting because we were upstairs in one of the rooms that's on the edge of the house, and it definitely had a slope to it, and it was explained to us that that they would put a very good foundation under the fireplace where the fireplace would be, and the fireplace is multiple. It would go to different rooms. Would go out into different rooms, and then they built the beams up onto that, and so the outside where the water came down off the roof would soften the land, and so all of those side rooms have a tendency to sag down into the soil. And so in order for them to do the restoration that they were doing, they were having to raise that edge of the floor up and then level it off. And so that word that I just used there, restore, is the word that I wanted to concentrate on out of the Psalms this week, in that I looked up the word restore in Psalms, and I found probably that one of the best uses of the word, it's used in Psalm 51 as restore unto me the joy of your salvation. So if Psalm, we've already talked about that. But this word restore took me to Psalm 80, which actually is not a Psalm of David. It's a Psalm of Asaph, who was, as you read in Chronicles, was one of the leaders of the choir priests in the temple. And so this psalm was written by Asaph, and I'm going to play. I have worked out that the music out of that psalm, and I'm going to play it in a little bit for you. Shirley and I are singing with it. We worked at bringing the word, some of the words of the psalm into the music. I will tell you, neither myself nor Shirley are professional singers, and so it's not. I'm not going to play it for the beauty of our voices or anything, but I just wanted to for you to hear the harp music behind it, and then as we brought the words into it. And if you want to play around with it, feel free, because we are always wanting to expand on the abilities, and I'm sure there's some professional singers out there that would do a beautiful job with it. So if you're one of those, feel free to take it and do some work with it. Anyway. So Psalm, let me read the Psalm, Psalm 80, to the choir master according to the lilies. So that was a form of music that was used. And so he's saying, use that form of music to these words. And it's a testimony of Asaph, a psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us. There's the first time the word is used. Restore us, O Elohim. Let your face shine that we may be saved. O Yahweh Tzevaot, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention, and our neighbors and our enemies laugh among themselves. And then once again, restore us, O Yahweh Tzevaot. Let your face shine that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its branches to the sea and its shoots to the river. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit? The boar from the forest ravages it, and all that move in the field feed on it. Turn again, O Yahweh Tsevaot. Look down from heaven and see. Have regard for this vine, the stalk that your hand planted, and for the son whom you made strong for yourself. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your face. But let your hand be on the man of your right hand, the son of man whom you have made strong for yourself. Then we shall not turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call upon your name. And then the third time, restore us, O Yahweh Elohim Tsevaot. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. And that term, let your face shine, comes actually from, it's a reference to the priestly blessing of may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh cause his face to shine upon you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. That's a reference to that verse out of Numbers that the priests were to bless the children of Israel with. So I'm going to play this music, and then we will come back with some more comments, and I have some really interesting ideas out of combining what asking this restoration and asking our Heavenly Father's face to shine on us and how it relates to what we're seeing in the news today. So enjoy the music, and then we'll come back. Open up your power, O Yahweh, and we will be saved. That's the way I think we were sticking more to the King James on that one, but this one I read was, let your face shine that we may be saved. Show us your power, Father. And really, isn't that where we need to be? I think of all of the news headlines we've been having over the last several weeks, and things are looking pretty, pretty, shall we say, dismal? I'm not sure the best word to describe it, but there's so many possibilities of major turmoil breaking out in several places around the globe. And so, where do we need to look? Do we need to look to our armies, to our navies, to show force to protect us? Or is it better that we turn to our Heavenly Father and say, Father, this is out of our hands. We don't know what to do, but you do. And it's been interesting. I get quite a few different newsletters from different organizations that we've interacted with over years. And I'm struck by how many right now are entering into prayer and fasting. Some are calling it Esther fast or others, but, you know, 3-day fast, Daniel fast, there's different ones that are being labeled. But the result is that people are setting aside things they normally do, and they're entering into prayer for Israel, for the United States, for the UK, for Australia, for Germany, for on and on and on, France. Take your pick. I know people around the world are praying for the various conditions that they're seeing that are affecting their country, as well as so many are interested in what's happening in Israel as well. And it just gives me hope and encouragement that there are a lot of people who are paying attention, that and that they're willing to set aside their lives and enter into intercession with our Heavenly Father over appealing to Him to be in charge of what's taking place. And this word restoration, you know, we see it with houses and buildings and things like that. We stayed in a hotel that was, I think it was out of the 1500s as well. And some of the, you walk down the hall and it leans one way and then it leans the other. It had been restored per se to the point of people being able to stay in it as a hotel. But there were clear marks that it had suffered some wear and tear over the years. And so we're asking our Heavenly Father here in this psalm, Asaph, and then from their years to come, others, are asking our Heavenly Father to restore us. You know, it's interesting that, you know, once again, pointing back to Psalm 51, David even goes so far as to ask that God use his creative power to actually create anew. And that's another word I looked up in Psalms, the word new, and that's a word that appears quite frequently as well. And some of it's sing a new song, or I think that's the most common reference, but there's this understanding that our Heavenly Father not only cannot only take our ramshackled selves and build them back so that they're useful, but he even has this recreative power to totally make us new. And that's something that you can't do to these historic buildings, because as I was talking with Alan, he was informing me that there's some committee that they have to submit their restoration plans to. And there's some things they let them do and some things they don't let them do. They're making sure that they adhere to the historical structure. And an interesting thing, there was a set of stairs that they believe was added later on. And so they may be able to take those stairs out and put a set of stairs in that are actually not so rickety, because those are quite rickety. It was, we were coming to, and each of the steps was a different height and width. And it was a bit interesting to go down it. And so they have to get everything approved that they're going to maintain that house looking like it did 500 years ago. And that keeps them from being able to do some things that could actually make it quite a bit nicer. So our Heavenly Father does things better. Let me just say it that way. Because he takes our lives. And not only does he restore us to the joy of his salvation, but he also creates in us a clean heart, a new heart. He gives us a new song. So there's an interesting mix of this restoration, which the word restoring, in fact, let me just go to the concordance here, and I'll look up the Hebrew word. Turn us again is the word is shov, which actually, that's interesting. I should have looked that up earlier, but that is the root word that is in is to part of the word for repent. It's to turn around. It's like you're going one direction and then you turn around and go back from what you were going away from. And the word for repent is teshuva, so you can hear that same root word in that word as well. And that's kind of interesting in itself, is that in this Psalm 80, we're saying shuv us, turn us around. And that's translated as restore us. And so that also carries that meaning of we're even asking our Heavenly Father to help us turn around. In Teshuvah, we make the choice to turn around, but here we're asking our Heavenly Father to turn us around. They're very closely related, and it's much the same result of what takes place when either repentance or restoration take place. You can see the two words are very closely related. And even in the English, the word repent means to think again. Pense is to think, and re means to do it again. And so we see all the meanings of these words as they're brought together, and how we are to relate with our Heavenly Father. And in doing that repentance, or that turning around, or that restoration, we're brought back to that relational position where we are in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Instead of running away from him, we're coming back into his presence. And as I've dealt with the tabernacle frequencies, and I've explained that all of these frequencies that we talk about, I believe, are about worship and bringing us into the presence of our Heavenly Father. At the end of the day, isn't that where we want to be? When all of these things are happening in the world around us, don't we want to be in the presence of our Heavenly Father, who has the answer to all the problems that we're experiencing? So let me just challenge myself and you to come now into his presence. So I hope you've enjoyed our time together. Stay tuned, as I say, little pun. I have many more songs to share with you. I have more to share about how this all comes together. And I pray that you will share
and help people, especially those you see stressed, especially in these times that we're going through. Bring people to this calming and this peace and this rest that this beautiful music of the Psalms of David brings to each of our lives. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you next week. Many, many blessings to you all today.